Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants are in a listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. I would now like to turn the call over to Chairman Gladys Dutrieu. You may begin.
Good morning. I hereby call to order this 14th meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for the year 2021. At this time, I would like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us on the call today. Commissioner Ralph Yanora.
Present.
Commissioner John Coleman.
Present.
And I am also present, giving us a quorum for today. At today's meeting, which is open to the public, the commission will act on various matters. There's no opportunity for the public to address the commission at this public meeting. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio also will be available on the commission's website later today. The first matter on this morning's agenda is the approval of the minutes, meeting minutes for August 26, 2021, and I will call on Commissioner Yanora, who is the editor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have reviewed the minutes of the August 26, 2021 public meeting and move that they be approved as submitted.
You have heard the motion by Commissioner Yanora. Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Second by Commissioner Coleman. Any further discussion or edits? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I also say aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. The minutes are approved by a vote of 3-0. And at this time, I will call upon the Secretary of the Commission, Rosemary Chiavetta, who will lead us through this morning's agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Madam Chairman and Commissioners. Your various bureaus and offices have submitted the following agenda items for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page one with matters presented by Director Monahan and the Bureau of Audits. It is recommended that the Commission release the audit report of the Telecommunications Device Distribution Program and Print Media Access System.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I'm also voting aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Continuing on page one, it is recommended that the Commission publicly release the annual report for the fiscal year 2020-2021.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion? I do have comments to place on the record. Today, the Commission releases its annual report detailing the results of three management audits and management efficiency investigations for the 12-month period ending June 30th, 2021. As I have stated before, the Bureau of Audits represents the Commission's front line in economic regulation, ensuring that the utility's operations are compliant with the Commission's directives while also evaluating utility operations. The annual report that will be released today exhibits this hard work. The work done by the Bureau is projected to manifest annual savings and benefits valued at $749,000 and increased operational efficiencies. So I'd like to take the time to commend the Bureau for the work that has done over the course of the fiscal year of 2020-2021. Any further comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page two, and matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page two, beginning with the formal complaint of DeRay Norman versus the Philadelphia Gas Works, and ending the omnibus with the case regarding the Indian Springs Water Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 3. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of Dale Boyer versus the Pennsylvania Electric Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? I do have comments from the bench. On August 8, 2019, Dale Boyer filed a formal complaint alleging that Penelec had provided inadequate and unreasonable service and that the Penelec transformer near the complainant's residence caused his electric heating system to burn out. There were various pleadings and unsuccessful attempts at mediation. And I don't want to go into very much detail in terms of the record, but I just want to acknowledge that the ALJ did dismiss the complaint and dismissed it with prejudice, holding that Penelec is entitled as a matter of law to have access to a clearly articulated complaint that provides a basis for Penelec to understand the allegations against it and defend against the allegations. I do agree with the dismissal of this case. I agree that it was correct. However, I disagree with the dismissal of the case with prejudice. This is a pro se complainant who has not abused the commission's process. It appears that the complainant simply did not understand our legal process. If he chooses to bring the complaint in the future with the assistance of counsel, he should not be barred from doing so. So with that, I will be concurring in result only. Any other comments for the record? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And I will be concurring in result only. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 3-0, noting that I am concurring in result only.
Continuing on page 3. It is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt the remaining item on page 3, the application of Walton Point Productions, and continuing and ending the omnibus on page 4 with the cancellation of certificates of public convenience for motor carriers.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Continuing on page 4, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement versus Verde Energy.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have a motion on the matter.
Commissioner Unora.
I ask that my motion be entered in the record as if I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission today is the OCA's petition for interlocutory review and answer to material questions. The OCA's petition concerns an IME complaint filed against Verde Engineering Energy, alleging, among others, issues deceptive and misleading EGS sales and marketing practices. In its petition, the OCA questions whether ALJ properly excluded certain factual materials presented by the OCA and its substantive comments filed during this proceeding in response to the proposed settlement. I agree with the ALJ that it would be improper to rely on factual materials included in the OCA's substantive comments. Additionally, I point out that the OCA, because of its choice to proceed as intervener, cannot force the parties to litigate this settlement. As such, the OCA's material questions presented in its petition should be answered in the negative. It is important to note the Commission's consideration for proposed settlement in this matter may include refunds to affected customers. As such, the OCA's petition should be denied in its entirety, and the matter should be returned to the ALJ to properly determine whether the settlement is in the public interest. Therefore, I move, one, that the petition of interlocutory review and answer to material questions filed January 28, 2021 by the Office of Consumer Advocate be denied, and material questions contained therein is answered in the negative. Two, the ALJ's interim order granting the motion to Strike Verde USA, Inc., dated January 15, 2021, is adopted. And three, that the Office of Special Assistance prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Unora. You've heard the motion of Commissioner Unora. Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion on the motion? I would like to add discussion on the motion, ask that my comments be spread upon the record as if I read it in its entirety, but I will do an abbreviated version. This matter comes before the Commission as a petition for interlocutory review and answer to material questions filed by the Office of Consumer Advocate, or OCA. The basic facts are that the Commission's independent prosecutorial arm, the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement, or INE, filed a formal complaint on January 30, 2020, alleging slamming and deceptive sales practices resulting in nearly 9,000 violations of the Commission's energy marketing regulations by Verde Energy USA, Inc. The OCA filed a timely notice of intervention on February 24, 2020. Verde filed three requests for extension of time to answer the complaint, all of which were granted. Upon the filing of an answer on June 30, 2020, the case was assigned to the Office of Administrative Law Judge. On that same date, Verde and INE filed a joint petition for settlement. On July 10, 2020, the OCA filed a letter stating its intention to oppose the settlement. On August 21, 2020, the OCA, in its pre-hearing memorandum, requested that this matter be held in abeyance for 60 days to permit the OCA time to conduct discovery. On September 25, 2020, the ALJ issued an order denying the OCA's request for an abeyance. The ALJ's abeyance order explained that the request for time to conduct discovery was denied because the OCA had already had sufficient time, 6 months, to conduct discovery. The abeyance order further provided that INE and Verde would be permitted to file stipulated facts in support of the settlement, and that the OCA would be permitted to file substantive comments, and that INE and Verde would be permitted to file reply comments thereto. On November 9, 2020, the OCA filed comments in opposition to the settlement, along with evidence to support those comments. Verde filed a motion to strike the OCA's supporting evidence, and INE filed a letter in support of Verde's motion to strike. By order issued on January 15, 2021, which was an interim order, the ALJ granted Verde's motion to strike the OCA's evidence, holding that Verde's market dealings in the other states were beyond the scope of this proceedings. The ALJ also reasoned that because the OCA's supporting evidence was not available to INE and Verde throughout the course of the proceeding, it would not be proper to rely upon these materials since INE and Verde never had the opportunity to cross-examine witnesses or to offer rebuttal testimony. The material question now before us asks whether the ALJ erred in striking the OCA's factual evidence presented in support of its comments, thereby denying the OCA a meaningful opportunity to be heard. I believe that the response to that question should be in the affirmative. The relief requested by the OCA should be granted on the basis that the OCA, a statutory advocate, properly intervened prior to the development of the record in this adversarial proceeding and is entitled to due process. Section 57.4B of the Commission's regulations are clear regarding the right of a statutory advocate to participate in proceedings before the Commission. I take issue with the finding in the obeyance order that the OCA had sufficient time to conduct discovery. Contrary to the finding, the OCA did not have 6 months during which to conduct a discovery because Verde did not file an answer to the complaint until June 30, 2020, the same day that Verde and I&E filed their settlement. Verde's answer to the complaint is an intrinsic and precipitating part of any litigant's discovery process. An answer contesting a complaint is not meant to be filed as an adjunct or afterthought to a settlement. I also take issue with the interim order's determination that the OCA presented evidence that was not available to Verde and I&E during the course of the proceeding. No hearing was scheduled in this adversarial proceeding to facilitate the presentation of evidence. Rather than striking the OCA's evidence, in order to afford all participants due process, a hearing should have been scheduled. Case law holds that, as a matter of fairness, interested parties filing requests to intervene should have the opportunity for their petitions to be heard and decided based upon the procedural posture of the case as it existed at the time of the petitions were filed. Otherwise, party litigants could delay a hearing until a joint settlement is filed for the purpose of preventing intervention by parties. In this instance, the OCA's petition to intervene was filed well before Verde's answer and the settlement. Therefore, as a matter of fairness, the OCA should have been given a meaningful opportunity to be heard. Because I believe that the material question should be answered in affirmative, I will respectfully dissent. Any other discussion on the motion before us? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I am opposing it. So the motion passes 2-1, noting my dissent. On the matter as amended by the motion, is there any objection to taking the previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 2-1, noting my dissent.
Turning to page 5, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 5, beginning with the formal complaint of Melinda Fisher versus Columbia Gas of Pennsylvania, and ending the omnibus with the formal complaint of Randall and Merle Paul versus PPL Electric Utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 6, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of Tiffany Regman versus UGI Utilities Gas Division.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Unora, so moved.
I heard both of you.
I'll second.
I believe I heard. Sure. Okay. Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion?
Madam Chairman, I do have a motion on this matter.
Mr. Coleman.
Thank you. I'd ask that my motion be entered into the record as though I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission are the exceptions of Tiffany Regman to the initial decision which dismissed her complaint against UGI. Ms. Regman disputes her responsibility for a final bill issued on her account at a prior residence. She alleges that she had notified UGI to discontinue gas service in April 2017. UGI does not have any record of this request. UGI issued a final bill for service on Ms. Regman's account on April 2018. No payment was received, so UGI referred the debt to the Private Debt Collection Agency. Under the Commission's regulations and UGI's tariff, a customer is required to provide notice of her desire to have service discontinued. In the absence of such notice, the customer is responsible for services rendered. Ms. Regman is responsible for the final bill issued on her account. UGI's transition to a new computer system during 2017 does not change the outcome of this case. For customers such as Ms. Regman, UGI mailed them information about the changeover to the new computer system. This information included a notice that these customers would no longer receive email notifications about bills, and bills would be mailed. UGI mailed notices and bills to the address on file for the account. No bills sent by UGI to Ms. Regman were ever returned. UGI also attempted to contact Ms. Regman with respect to the overdue bill by calling the telephone number on file for the account. In addition, UGI's decision to forgo some terminations during the transition to the new computer system does not change the outcome of this case. Neither the Public Utility Code nor the Commission's regulations require UGI to begin the termination of process of Ms. Regman's account before UGI did so in 2018. The initial decision properly dismissed the complaint. Ms. Regman's exceptions to the initial decision should be denied. While Ms. Regman is responsible for the account balance with UGI, I am sympathetic to her situation. I note that she may have a separate cause of action in a court of competent jurisdiction. Therefore, I move the exceptions of Tiffany Regman are denied, the initial decision is affirmed, and that the Office of Special Assistance prepare an opinion in order consistent with this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. Is there a second to the motion?
Unora, second.
Second by Commissioner Unora. On discussion of the motion, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0. On the matter as amended, is there any objection to taking the previous roll call? Hearing none, the matter as amended passes 3-0.
Continuing on page 6, it is recommended that the Commission adopt an omnibus motion. The remaining item on page 6, the application of Elkins Elderly Transportation, LLC, and continuing the omnibus to include both items on page 7, both items on page 8, all three items on page 9, all three items on page 10, all three items on page 11, all three items on page 12, all three items on page 13, and all three items on page 14, ending the omnibus with the joint petition filed by Verizon North, LLC, and GC Pivotal, LLC, doing business as Global Capacity.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 15 and matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 15, beginning with the tentative order canceling the licenses of certain electric generation suppliers, and continuing the omnibus to include all three items on page 16, all three items on page 17, all three items on page 18, all three items on page 19, all three items on page 20, and both items on page 21, ending the omnibus with a report of quarterly earnings of jurisdictional utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Holman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 22, and matters presented by Chief Counsel Hicks and the Law Bureau. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the petition for reconsideration filed by Energy Advisory Service, LLC.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I'm also voting aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Continuing on page 22, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the final rulemaking order regarding depreciation reporting and capital planning of transportation pipelines.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Unora, so moved.
Coleman, second. I heard
Commissioner Unora first. Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion?
Madam Chairman, I do have a motion on this matter.
Commissioner Coleman.
Thank you. I'd ask that my motion be entered in the record as I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission for Disposition is the final rulemaking order on proposed amendments to our public utility reporting regulations providing for annual depreciation reporting, service life study reporting, and capital investment reporting. The existing regulations of Chapter 73 currently apply to electric service, gas service, and water service public utilities. In a prior order, the Commission had proposed to require crude oil, gasoline, and petroleum product transportation pipeline public utilities to file annual depreciation reports, service life study reports, and capital investment plan reports in accordance with the provisions established in 52 PA Code Chapter 73. In response to our proposed amendments, the Commission has received multiple comments from interested parties and the Independent Regulatory Review Commission. Based on a review of the comments and recommendations now before us is to withdraw proposed changes to our regulations on depreciation reports and capital investment plan reports. The remaining issue before us involves amendments that would require a regularly filed service life study. Several commenters have asserted that mandating a reoccurring service life study requirement for all pipelines would be inconsistent or incompatible with the federal regulations of the U.S. Department of Transportation's Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration and would therefore be preempted. The Commission participates as a certified state in the Federal Pipeline Safety Program administered by PHMSA under federal law. The Commission has incorporated PHMSA's regulations in its own regulations in part to comport with the requirements of PHMSA's Pipeline Safety Program. Participating certified states must adopt a minimum federal pipeline safety standards and are permitted to adopt additional, more stringent regulations so long as they are compatible with the minimum federal pipeline safety standards. While the Commission has a reasonable basis for believing it has jurisdiction to move forward, the risk of federal preemption should not be casually dismissed. PHMSA recently directed the Commission to modify its regulations on customer-owned gas service lines due to a potential conflict with federal rules. The Commission must also demonstrate that it has the legal authority to promulgate a final rule and that the proposed rules are not in conflict with some of the other regulations or statutes before the Independent Regulatory Review Commission will give final approval. It would not be in the public interest to move forward now, only to have to withdraw or to modify the rule and significantly delay implementation because of preemption issue. If the Commission needs to move more quickly and decisively to protect the public, there should be no ambiguity about our jurisdiction or authority that might impede our ability to act. Fortunately, the Commission has the option to obtain assistance from the National's leading expert on the question of federal pipeline safety preemption. PHMSA itself provides a process for state regulators to request preemptive guidance on pipeline safety issues. It would be wise for the Commission to ask PHMSA to verify that a service life study requirement is compatible with PHMSA standards and to review our proposed regulatory language for any need of clarification or suggestions for improvement. I will therefore move that the Law Bureau prepare appropriate correspondence to PHMSA for our review and approval within 30 days of the entry of this order. Should PHMSA find that our proposed amendments are compatible with the regulations, a service life study will be incorporated into our pending pipeline safety rulemaking on changes to Chapter 59 of the Commission's regulations. These two proceedings involve overlapping legal and policy issues, and it would be appropriate to locate a study requirement in Chapter 59. Chapter 59 is the primary location of our gas and pipeline safety regulations, and PHMSA's requirements are already incorporated into Section 59.33, subsection B. PHMSA's interpretive guidance on this issue and the comments received at the docket may be incorporated by reference at that proceeding, and the Commission may utilize an advance notice of final rulemaking for additional comments on this issue as necessary. In the meantime, the Commission will continue to implement all service life study requirements that have been approved as part of the resolutions of enforcement actions brought by the Commission staff. The safety of the public utility infrastructure is of utmost importance to the Commission and will continue to be diligently monitored and enforced in compliance with the laws of the Commonwealth within our jurisdiction. Therefore, I move that the Law Bureau seek interpretive guidance on the federal preemptive issue from PHMSA pursuant to the regulation at 49 CFR 190.11, subsection D. PHMSA's response and any resulting recommendations are to be incorporated into the Commission's rulemaking proceeding at docket number L-2019-30-10-26-7. A final rulemaking order is adopted as modified by this motion. The Law Bureau prepare an order consistent with this motion, and this docket be marked closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. You've heard the motion of Commissioner Coleman. Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussions on the motion? I do have comments and ask that my comments be placed on the record in their entirety. Before the Commission for disposition is a final rulemaking on proposed amendments to our public utility reporting regulations at 52 PA Code Section 73.1, 73.3, 73.5, and 73.7. At the onset of this docket, the Commission proposed to require crude oil, gasoline, and petroleum products, transportation, pipeline, public utilities to follow depreciation reports, service life study reports, and capital investment plan reports. Numerous parties filed comments in response to this proposed rulemaking. A number of pipeline operators questioned the value and legality of these three additional reporting requirements. Conversely, various individuals and municipalities filed comments supporting these additional reporting requirements, noting that their potential to better instill safe and reliable service through accountability and transparency. Upon review and consideration of their respective costs and benefits, I believe that the proposal to add depreciation and capital investment reporting are not necessary. Depreciation reports are beneficial to determine the validity and accuracy of base rates. However, pipeline utilities operate in a manner more akin to a common carrier and are not directly analogous to fixed utilities with base rates. As such, this information is of minimal value. Second, the Commission already receives major construction and maintenance reports from pipeline utilities pursuant to our regulation at 52 PA Code, Section 59.38. thus minimizing the benefits of the proposed capital investment reporting requirement. However, I do believe that the proposal to require service life study reporting is in the interest of the public, and I contend that this regulatory package should proceed with inclusion of this requirement. I submit that service life study reports can bear upon whether a pipeline can continue to provide safe, efficient, and adequate service, while service life may be extended indefinitely through proper adherence to a pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration Integrity Management Plan. This does not mean that segments of pipelines or other pipeline facilities do not wear out or develop leaks. Public safety and transparency are of paramount importance, and I believe that periodic service life study reporting is a step towards achieving these goals. Several pipelines contend that a service life study reporting requirement is preempted by PHMSA regulations. I disagree. I contend that such reporting is not inconsistent nor incompatible with federal regulations, but rather a complementary requirement of Pennsylvania necessarily promulgated in response to the burgeoning pipeline industry in the Commonwealth. The information conveyed pursuant to this proposal will enhance the Commission's ability to appraise that status of pipelines, thereby helping to ensure the prudent and safe operations of such pipelines. For these reasons, I support the issuance of a final rulemaking adopting a service life study reporting requirement and removing the proposed depreciation and capital investment reporting requirement. Also, for this reason, since the proposal by Commissioner Coleman does look to remove this service requirement, even though he did state that he was removing it for the purpose of asking PHMSA for clarification of whether it was within our jurisdiction, I believe it is within our jurisdiction, so I will be dissenting on this motion. Any further comments on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I am opposed. The motion passes 2-0. Is there any objection to going along with the previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter on the rulemaking for depreciation reporting and capital planning for crude oil, gasoline, and petroleum product transportation pipelines passes 2-1, noting my dissent.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just one correction on the motion. You said 2-0. It is 2-1 on the motion, correct?
2-1. I do apologize. My math is all off. Yes. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Turning to page 23 and matters presented by Chief Administrative Law Judge Rainey and the Office of Administrative Law Judge, it is recommended that the Commission adopt ALJ Brady's recommended decision in the purchase gas cost filing of the gas division of the PECO Energy Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Continuing on page 23, it is recommended that the Commission adopt ALJ Buckley's recommended decision in the purchase gas cost filing by UGI Utilities Gas Division.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have a joint statement.
Commissioner Unora.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Coleman and I have a joint statement. I ask that our written statement be included in the record as if I read it in its entirety. We commend the parties for developing the Renewable Natural Gas Supply Pilot Program to expand the use of renewable natural gas in the Commonwealth. The UGI program explores the use of renewable identification numbers, which trade under the Federal Renewable Fuel Standards Program, to enhance the cost effectiveness and renewable gas as part of UGI's least cost gas supply portfolio. Similar to the renewable energy credits, the market for renewable identification numbers works to enhance domestic energy supplies and reduce greenhouse gases and reliance on imported oil. The UGI program supports multiple policy goals. It respects least cost gas supply procurement, environmental concerns, and works to generate useful and economical natural gas from the in-cycle waste handling activities involving wastewater treatment, landfills, farming, and food processing. We congratulate the parties and wish all success in the implementation of the UGI Pilot Renewable Gas Program. Thank you.
Thank you for the joint statement, Commissioner Unora. I also have a statement to place on the record. We ask that it be spread upon a record in its entirety. As I have done in previous proceedings before this commission, I offer this statement to highlight and also applaud the inclusion of a renewable gas pilot program in UGI's initial filing and this PGC settlement. The RNG industry remains in its youth, continuing to show signs of growth and interest throughout the Commonwealth and the nation. As such, it is in the public interest for natural gas distribution companies to avail themselves of knowledge and experience in this area through prudently implemented tariffs and procurements. Here, the settling parties have agreed to an RNG pilot whereby UGI will purchase a set amount of RNG and associated credit attributes, otherwise called renewable identification numbers, I apologize, or RNIs, sourced from the Keystone Landfill in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. RNIs are qualified and tracked under criteria set by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency and can be considered akin to the alternative energy credits used to track the attributes of qualifying source of electricity. UGI will unbundle the RNIs from the commodity and securitize them for sale to interested third parties. While the sale of the RNIs will reduce or potentially eliminate any claim UGI can make to the environmental attributes associated with the RNG purchases, it will have the benefit of creating revenues used to offset any price premiums realized. While I believe it is preferential to have the utility retain the environmental attributes of RNG purchases, of most importance is UGI's entrance into the RNG marketplace and the information it will learn from this experience. The settlement includes provisions mandating that UGI track and report the following: daily quantities of RNG purchase, PGC rate impact of RNG purchases, the British Thermal Unit or BTU content of RNG purchases, and the RIN sales activity, including volume sold and price. So let me just add on to what my commissioners have said. I also want to commend UGI and the parties for these settlement provisions. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes regular agenda. Turning now to the carry-in. On page one of the carry-in agenda, it is recommended by the Office of Special Assistance that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order regarding the petition for reconsideration filed by Mobility LLC.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
You know, a second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 2 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Law Bureau that the Commission adopt a proposed order regarding the proceeding involving the North Heidelberg Sewer Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Finally, on page 2 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Law Bureau that consistent with 4 PA Code Section 1.43C, the notational vote regarding Starlink Services LLC be recorded and entered in the minutes of this public meeting.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
And Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items to be considered today.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. Before we adjourn, we do have several items to make announcements on. The first one I want to start with talking about Cybersecurity Awareness Month. As you know, every October, the TEC joins with organizations across the country to discuss cybersecurity threats and remind everyone that we all play a role in defending against cyber threats. This year's national cybersecurity campaign theme is Do Your Part, Be Cyber Smart. This past year has been an especially challenging one regarding cybersecurity. We witnessed a significant cyber attack on the fuel transportation industry with the Colonial Pipeline incident, where cyber criminals locked computer systems that helped direct gasoline to much of the East Coast, disrupting businesses and residents across a wide section of our country. We also closely followed an attack on a municipal water system in Florida where outside parties accessed plant controls for the treatment of drinking water. These incidents demonstrate the need for utilities to be proactive and take measures to secure their critical infrastructure. And the PUC continues to work closely with our utility community. But utilities are not the only entities facing cyber threats. Businesses, schools, hospitals, government agencies, and private citizens are targeted every day. Sometimes the bad actors are trying to steal money, while others may be trying to gain access to the computer systems where we work for financial gain, to disrupt services, or other criminal purposes. As highlighted by this year's national theme, we all play a role in cybersecurity. We encourage everyone to review educational materials and tips from the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, which are linked from the PUC website to help you stay secure online. At work, at home, at school, and wherever else we use our devices to access the internet, we need to remain vigilant. So please do your part, be cyber smart, and stay safe and secure online. Another announcement we wanted to make today, and these are always the difficult ones, is when we're talking about a member of the PUC family leaving from the commission. Today, we want to acknowledge the retirement of Susan Caldwell. Susan is known by many of her extensive work on many issues at the Public Utility Commission. Throughout her career at the PUC, she has used her knowledge and experience to benefit the public interest. She is a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, where she earned a degree in English writing and political science. She went on to study at the University of Pittsburgh School of Law, where she earned her law degree. Yeah, I like Sue, and that's because she graduated from Pitt as well. So hail to Pitt. Prior to beginning her career at the PUC, she spent time as a law clerk with various organizations and then as assistant counsel to the Department of State. Sue spent 34 years here at the PUC, where she began as an assistant counsel in the Law Bureau from 1987 to 2003. While an assistant counsel, she advised the commission primarily in the areas of procedures, rules, and the commission's rail jurisdiction, and was responsible for developing and executing regulatory rulemakings. In 2003, she became a PUC Administrative Law Judge. While an ALJ, she expressed the need to make public input hearings more accessible to consumers who were unable to attend and testify in person. She recognized the need and worked diligently with other commission bureaus to create what eventually became known as the PUC's Smart Hearings, which were recognized with a State Innovation Award. She is well-regarded in the larger PA-PUC community, having most recently served on the staff of Vice Chairman David Sweet since 2016. Having served as an ALJ for so many years at the PUC, she certainly brought a unique voice to this position with Vice Chairman Sweet and to the Commissioner's offices. Her institutional knowledge will surely be missed. I know she's looking forward to spending more time with family and on her golf game. Sure, her and Rosemary would be out there on the golf course. Sue, I just want to say to you, you are welcome back at the commission at any time. We owe you our thanks for devoting a significant portion of your career to our commission and to the utilities consumers of Pennsylvania. We want to wish you good health and good luck with everything that you do in the future. And my final announcement is to announce, normally we have this announcement in December where we're announcing the vice chairman of the commission. With the end of the term of Vice Chairman Sweet, we now have a vacancy in the position of vice chairman, and the commissioners have voted to have Commissioner John Coleman step in the position of vice chairman, not only for the remaining of the year, which would have been the term of the rest of the term for Vice Chairman Sweet, but also for the year 2022. So we just want to congratulate him and welcome him back to the helm as vice chairman of the commission moving forward. Congratulations, Commissioner Coleman.
Well, thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your vote of confidence. And Commissioner Yanora, thank you for your vote of confidence as well. I look forward to returning to the role of Vice Chairman.
Thank you very much. And there's nothing else to come before the Commission today, so we just want to thank everyone for joining us for the PUC's public meeting. And at this time, I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Commissioner, or now Vice Chairman, Coleman to adjourn, and a second by Commissioner Yanora. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0. We are officially adjourned. Thank you, everyone.